Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the second chapter, as we hear of the visit of the wise men in the time of King Herod. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage and opened their treasure chests. They offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until after the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This month we have been journeying through the Christmas story through our senses. We've thought through the Christmas story with our sense of taste, with our sense of touch, with our sense of smell, and so now we arrive at the sense of sound. So what sounds do you associate with Christmas? Are there certain things that you expect to hear as we approach Christmas, or it's just not Christmas if you don't hear certain things? Jingle bells, yes. Yes, bells. Ah, the singing of Silent Night. Yeah, caroling. Yeah, these are sounds of Christmas to us. Well, I did a little research this week about the sounds of Christmas. You see, I used some of the tools of technology, particularly YouTube, in its helpful state, as I requested the best sounds of Christmas. And not to my surprise, but to my delight, there was a video titled "The Best Sounds of Christmas," and it had 18 different sounds that I could listen to that the creators thought captured Christmas. So here are a few of the things that I heard in that video. There's the sound of ice skates scratching across the ice rink. There was the sound of crackling shopping bags. There was a sound of coffee being brewed, of strings of lights being untangled as the bulbs clinked together. There's a sound of ornaments and the tree brushing up against each other. There's the sound of wrapping paper being cut, of the oven timer going off because the cookies were done, of the fire roaring in the fireplace, of presents being shaken and tissue paper being crinkled in bags. Those are some of the sounds of Christmas according to this particular video. However, those sounds are hardly the sounds that would have been familiar the first Christmas. Sure, there were probably lots and lots and lots and lots of sounds that first Christmas, and we're going to just deal with four categories of sounds, and we'll leave some out, but know that this is not all inclusive. So many of the best sounds of Christmas video had to do with gifts, with wrapping paper and crinkling shopping bags and tissue paper and rattling presents. So many of them had to do with gifts, but only one of our groups of sounds has to do with a gift. And it's probably not the sort of gift that you're thinking about. You see, it's the gift of taxes that brings about this sound. The emperor had decided that the treasury was running low, and so a census was needed to be taken so that taxes could be levied. Taxes, the gift of taxes to the emperor, was what set off the first sounds of Christmas. You see, they were the sounds of activity, of many people near each other. Think about the noise of a family reunion. All the things that go on when a bunch of relatives get together. There's talking and laughing. There's children playing games, food being prepared and eaten, people sleeping all over the house and maybe even in the courtyard. The sound of activity is noisy. However, as noisy as the residential streets of Bethlehem may have been, there was also the sound of silence. There's one person that we never hear speak in this Christmas story. It's Mary. She never speaks, and we're only told that she treasures the words that are spoken to her and ponders them in her heart. But we don't hear from Mary. She never breaks her silence. There's another place where it's kind of quiet in Bethlehem. Out in the fields, just past the city limits, there are some shepherds who are enjoying a nice, quiet night. Maybe the silence is only broken up by the snores of the sheep. It's a quiet night for the shepherds, just like most nights are quiet nights for the shepherds. But it doesn't last forever, because suddenly there is an earth-shattering angel that appears and speaks words to the shepherds, proclaiming good news to the shepherds. And the shepherds think it's worth checking out. So they run with haste, we're told, to the manger to check out what the angels have said. And the shepherds begin to break their silence as they return from the manger to their fields. They go out of their way to tell everyone in town about this good news. The shepherds break their silence to tell of the birth of the Christ child. Now, the shepherds aren't just breaking their silence. They are engaging in the sound of joy. It was this sound of joy that they heard from the angels. It was frightening at first, but they grew to embrace the excitement of the angels and what the angels were saying. The angels sang a song of glory and joy about the birth of a king, about God's peace coming to reign on the earth. And their song still echoes true today. The shepherds run through town recounting their joy as they tell of the wondrous, marvelous, and miraculous thing that has happened. A baby born who will be the Savior of the world. Now, this sound of joy is not just limited to the first Christmas, but can also be heard in our worship services as well. We, too, sing like the angels sing, songs of joy and praise. And we give thanks to God like the shepherds, thanks for our salvation, and thanks to God who goes with us. We, together with the shepherds and the angels, lift up joyful songs and prayers and praise to God this Christmas. Now, the last sound is the sound of crying. And we heard a bit about crying that took place in Bethlehem after the birth of Jesus, after the wise men have left, and as Herod seeks revenge on this new king. There are many families that cry as their children are left dead. But they're probably not the only children and families crying. In fact, that very first Christmas night, there is most certainly a cry that is heard. Jesus likely cried at his birth. That's what babies do when they're born. It's one of the signs that expectant parents wait to hear. As children are born, that first wail and cry of a child signaling their entrance into the world. Our natural human reaction, though, when we hear someone crying is to comfort them. Specifically, when we talk about babies and small children, we want to soothe them. And perhaps we do that through a lullaby. Lullabies are designed to be simple and melody, harmonious. They're usually higher-pitched songs, and they're easy to listen to. I often imagine Mary cradling Jesus, singing a lullaby. We have many beautiful Christmas lullabies, both sacred and secular, that help us imagine Mary singing to her child. How many of you have sung a lullaby to a baby, a child, a loved one? There's a lullaby that I sing to Ethan. It's a traditional Welsh lullaby called All Through the Night. I'm going to play it for you here in a minute, but I need you to play along with me. Imagine yourself as Mary or Joseph holding your newborn baby. You can cradle your baby in your arms or hold the child to your shoulder. You can sway or rock with your baby. You can pat the back of your child. Do whatever you would do to comfort the child, the newborn, in your arms. Let's take in the sound of a lullaby together. All right, hold your baby. Here we go.
Soft the drowsy hours are creeping, he'll let
there's something special about lullabies, something special about the sound of them and the way that they soothe us. Mary and Joseph would have wanted to soothe their newborn son, and maybe they sang him soft songs and lullabies as they rocked him in their arms. Maybe that was one of the first sounds of Christmas. I'm certain that first Christmas was full of sounds, sounds of activities, of the busyness of families and travelers in the midst of Bethlehem, but also filled with the sounds of silence, of people hushing one another as the baby slept, of a mother and father reflecting on their child, come to be the savior of the world. There were sounds of joy, of shepherds shouting and telling good news, of angels singing and proclaiming God's glory come to earth. There were sounds of crying. All of these sounds are still present with us this Christmas. The sound of activity is reflected as we busily get ready for Christmas, going about all of the preparations and things that we engage in to prepare. Hopefully we haven't lost the sound of silence. Sometimes we lose sight of the Christmas story as we're flooded with activity, but we can still take time of silence, time to contemplate the Christmas story and its meaning for us. The sound of joy can be recognized in Christmas as the birth of our Savior, whom we celebrate, brings us great joy. And the sound of crying is very real, particularly for some of us who have known loss and brokenness in our lives this year. Those who ache for a loved one and those who long for their Savior. As you finish preparing for Christmas, I hope you pay attention to the sounds around you and remember the sounds of the first Christmas, for in them you may hear the cry of a Savior and the joy of excited angels and shepherds announcing that God dwells among us. Thanks be to God. Amen.